With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, you delectable little triangles. I'm Andy.
And I'm Carrie.
And you're listening to the very first episode of the brand new series of
Ask the Clever Grown-Ups!
Yes, I can't believe it took us so long, but here we are at long last.
Back with a vengeance.
Back with a vengeance.
Back with a vengeance!
Here we are, back with a vengeance.
Bringing you the show that improves your intelligence.
Throwing down knowledge like a bear eats honey.
Hardly anyone listens and we get no money.
Oh, that was weird.
And a little bit depressing. But never mind, because let's get on with the show. Who have we got for our first episode, Professor Stanton Features?
Well, Dr. Quinlan Face, we've got Michael and Catherine, two tiny little children who were so ignorant I thought I was going to be sick all over my own legs.
Oh, yeah, they wanted to know how do mirrors make you see yourself.
Who was the first person to wear gloves?
All sorts of things.
So let's get on with it.
Roll the tape, whatever that means.
Today we're joined in the studio by two very unknowledgeable children indeed. Yeah. We've got the amazing...
I mean, do you even know your name and your age?
Yeah.
Michael.
Oh, and how old are you? Michael.
Six.
He's tiny. He's tiny. He's the size of a cornflake. And we've also got the amazing...
Catherine.
And how old are you, Catherine?
Eight.
She's the size of three cornflakes, a bit bigger. And also, we're very lucky to have back with us one of our favourite friends from the world of childhood. It's Anthony Plum.
Hey, Anthony.
What have you been up to lately, Anthony? Any amusing tales?
Any anecdotes from your half term?
Okay.
No.
Not so many. Maybe later.
He's a little bit shy.
Yeah, but yeah. Maybe we'll get a question out of him later. Anyway, we'll stick with Catherine and Michael to begin with and
see how we go, and then maybe replace them with some other children if they aren't up to scratch.
If they do it wrong. No pressure.
Question one.
How do mirrors make you see yourself?
Well, mirrors, famously, are born in the Amazon jungle. They're a small group of mammals who hang about in the jungle, reflecting on things. They're very thoughtful. And in 1867, Lord Farquhar Quaquarson went on a famous expedition to the Amazon jungle.
Sorry, Carrie, was it 67? Yeah. I learnt 66, 1866.
He left the UK in 66 and he arrived there in 66.
Sorry, it was 1867.
Sorry, I should have been clear.
No, go on. Lord Farquhar Quaquhar,
got to the Amazon jungle and realised that his moustache had drooped because he could feel it on the corners of his... He had a famously big curly moustache and he could feel it on the corners of his mouth. And he didn't know what to do about it.
Oh, no.
But the mirrors of the Amazonian jungle thought they'd come up and give him a hand, and they stood in front of him and said, you need to curl that up a bit. And he looked at them and he saw his own face and he curled them up. And then he put them on a boat took them back to England and sold them in shops.
He took the mirrors out of their natural habitat in the Amazonian jungle and forced them to work for us humans in the Western world. What do you think of that?
That's mean.
It is a bit mean.
It's really mean, isn't it?
But here's the moral dilemma. Do you use mirrors?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're useful.
My dad told us not to.
Your dad told you not to use mirrors?
Really? Yeah. Why is that?
He doesn't like us seeing my hair.
I can understand that, because I've seen your hair. It's atrocious. But even knowing the cruelty of Lord Fahakhakhakhason, would you still use mirrors?
Yes.
Are you a vegetarian?
No.
Would you eat a mirror?
No.
Have you ever looked into the mirror, and when you move, it makes a different movement than you're making? Have that ever happened to you?
No.
It happened to me for ages, and I noticed that it didn't even look like me. But then I worked out it wasn't a mirror, it was a window. And there was an old woman outside who was like just doing, she was just going about her business in the bushes. And I thought it was me. I've been shaving, I've been doing my hair in front of the mirror every morning. No, I'd just been looking at an old woman. So I finally worked it out. It wasn't my magical mirror version just moving differently to me and looking like an old woman. It was just an old woman. Another time, right, I thought I'd been looking in the mirror and I thought, oh no, I've turned into loads of people running along an athletics track. It's all right, it's just the TV. I was watching the Olympics. I'm talking about the problems when you think something's a mirror and they're not. The other day, in fact, just this moment, I thought I turned into a small boy called Michael who's wearing a stripy top. But I just worked out, no, I was just looking at Michael.
Looking at Michael, yeah. The other day I thought I turned into some countryside moving really, really fast, but it turns out I was just on a train.
Wow, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Well, then you're very easily pleased. Next.
Question two.
Why do you only get fish and chips once a week?
Right, the answer to why you only get fish and chips once a week is that you have really mean parents.
I eat fish and chips all the time,
mate. You can have fish and chips every day of the week for breakfast, lunch, dinner, mid-afternoon snack, bedtime treat, midnight feast, elevenses.
By the way, I even sometimes have fish and chips, and inside that fish and chips is smaller fish and chips.
A chunky chip with a little fry inside it.
Yep.
A nice little big lovely piece of haddock with a goldfish lined up through it. It's brilliant.
When you're a little kid, when you're a tiny little kid, just the size of a cornflake or three cornflakes, right? When you're like that, you don't really get to make very many decisions. But later on, you get old and wise, like me and Carrie.
Yeah.
And then you say, my mum and dad aren't around to tell me what to do. Guess what I'm going to do? Have fish and chips. Oh, the blimmin' time. Oh, what do you fancy for breakfast, Carrie?
I fancy fish and chips.
Oh, snap. Me too. Should we just get
some? Let's just get some, because we're grown-ups. Yeah. We can do what we want, and our mum and dad can't tell us what to do no more.
Oh, look, there's Catherine and Michael on the other side of the road. Oh, guess what they're eating? Weetabix. Hey, Catherine and Michael. Oh, we're having fish and chips for breakfast again.
Oh, look at their little faces.
Oh, Catherine, well, I've got one chip left. Do you want... Oh, too late.
Oh, no, I've had it now.
Hey, Michael, do you want some of this delicious fish? Oh, I've licked it. Can't have it now. Oh, by the way, this is the best fish and chips I've ever had.
It's amazing fish and chips.
It's brilliant. What else can't you do when you're a kid? What aren't you allowed to do?
We're not allowed to play football in the house.
Guess what?
I play football in the house all day long while I'm eating fish and chips.
Yeah, me too.
Shoving fish and chips into my face while kicking a football all over the shop.
I guess what the goalkeeper is in my house? It's a fish. And the posts are chips, right? And the ball is mushy peas in a big ball. And I play football with fish and chips. I play fish and chips with football. My house is a giant football. My bed is fish and chips. What else can't you do when you're a kid?
You're not allowed to do.
You can't have Cocoa Pops for breakfast.
Unlucky! Unlucky again! Because when me and Carrie...
We just sprinkle Cocoa Pops
on the fish and chips. Oh, yeah, while I'm doing some headers of the ball, I sprinkle the Cocoa Pops and the fish and chips and I stuff it down my gob. I stick the Cocoa Pops up my nose. I stick the chips in my ears. I come round to your house. I go, oh, bad luck, what have you got? Gruel and muesli. Oh, dear. Oh, no. Oh, some Cocoa Pops have just come out my nose and I don't even care. I've got millions. What else can't you do when you're a kid?
We can't wear glasses to school.
This morning I wasn't wearing glasses. I just thought, I'm so full of fish, chips, Cocoa Pops and football. But do you know what I fancy? Some glasses. I just called up my friend. He's an optician. He came round to my house. We had some fish and chips, Cocoa Pops. We played a bit of football and he gave me free glasses. Yeah. And he said, you can wear them to school anytime you like. You can do what you like because you're an adult. Yeah. Not like Catherine and Michael. They're not allowed to do anything.
I spent all day just kicking fish and chips around my house while I'm eating footballs and glasses. And it's brilliant.
Yeah, they sit in a room. They're allowed fish and chips once a year if they're lucky.
That
will soon change after Brexit. Once a year if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And the fish will be an old flannel. And the chips will just be toenails.
Yeah.
Question three.
Who won the first sport?
Well, who played the first sport?
And what was the first sport?
Sport, as we know, was bowls.
Yep.
But it was sea bowls.
Sea bowls.
It was very difficult to play because you'd stand by the shore and you'd roll your bowl along the sea.
Which is where we get the song. Roll your bowl gently down the sea. Merrily, 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 merrily. I wonder where my bowl's gone.
Yeah.
Because it would sink.
It would just sink.
But I'll tell you the first players. There were two main champions in the old days because this was invented in... Do you know when Shakespeare was alive?
No.
Well, it wasn't when he was alive anyway. So.
No, it was long before that.
It was long
what are you talking about
that.
Shakespeare for?
This was in ancient Roman time. Ancient Romans, right? The ancient Romans.
They loved bowls.
They loved
sea bowls. Couldn't get enough of them. I mean, they really couldn't get enough of them because you rolled it along once and disappeared.
So, there were two main champions of the time. There was Garrulus.
And there was Chironicus.
There was so it was like this. Garrulus versus Chironicus in the 72 AD Roman Sea Bowl Championships. You know, because they're called championships because all the sport was
because
at sea.
The ships.
So, the championships. Garrulus steps up to the seashore.
Oh, and he's got great form this year. We're hoping for big things from Garrulus this time.
He's scratching his armpits like he always does.
And he's sniffing his fingers. Yeah. And oh, no, that's not a good face. He must have really stinky armpits.
Stinky armpits. That's not a good start. Never mind.
Bad.
He gets his sea bowl and he's bowled it into the sea and yes, it's sunk.
Yes, it's gone into the sea.
Like they always do. They always do. But now...
Chironicus. Reckons she can beat that. And Chironicus steps up to the oki. That's why they called it an oki, because it was an oki. And she's getting ready to bowl there.
Oh, no! Garrulus has lifted up his armpit and Chironicus has passed out and dropped the sea bowl on her own foot.
Oh.
Game to Garrulus.
So that's the answer. Garrulus won the first sport.
Yeah, but by cheating.
Basically by cheating.
Yeah, it's all written down by Cato, who was a cat.
What? If it's a cat, how could he be an author?
Oh. Really? Right. Really? Do we have to teach you everything? Not all cats are authors. Only the occasional cat. Charles Dickens, cat. Dostoevsky, not a cat.
Goethe,
cat. Shakespeare, part cat.
Yeah.
Name an author, your favourite author?
Jacqueline Wilson.
Cat.
Andy Stanton.
Oh, now he's half dog, half cat.
Name another author.
Enid Blyton.
Oh, Enid Blyton. She had a cat, and the cat used to write the stories for her, but she took all the credit.
Yeah.
Right? So the famous five, written by a cat.
Yeah. And there were 12 of them.
But there's a dog in Famous Five, so why?
That's why he always gets the worst lines.
Yeah,
because the cat doesn't like.
That's why in all the Famous Five stories, the dog always falls off a cliff at the end.
Yeah,
that's not.
And why?
True.
And why the only thing he ever says? The only thing he ever says is "woof."
Yeah. And there's that scene in Five Go
Terrible.
To Smuggler's Top where the dog gets beaten up by a load of cats.
Yeah.
And that was Enid Blyton's cat making a statement about cats and dogs. So a lot of authors are cats. Some are part cats, some humans, some are just people.
Sometimes you can spot whether authors are actually cats. Yeah, that bit in the Noddy books where he chokes on a furball, that was written by Enid Blyton's cat.
Yeah, and that bit, right, in The Secret Seven, where all the kids just eat a load of cat food.
Yeah.
Don't ever eat a load of cat food.
I don't think you've read all
the
Secret Seven books.
The magic faraway tree, the way everyone just goes somewhere where they can play with a lot of string.
Yeah, and that horrible scene in the litter box.
Oh,
yeah, that's disgusting.
Dreadful.
Do you remember that scene where Moonface just squats down?
Did you know?
The blue whale is the smallest creature on the planet. Although a lot of people think that whales are birds, they are in actual fact a type of fudge.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know?
It is illegal to murder people in Mexico. Actually, not just Mexico.
The following question was recorded some time ago and contains some out-of-date bits about sticking pinky fingers up Theresa May's nostrils, whoever Theresa May might have been.
Question four!
In Brexit, why do they call it a party?
That's a brilliant question.
That is a really good question.
A party is a really fun time where everyone enjoys themselves and has a lot of yummy food.
Not that type of party.
I know.
This is where it comes from. Long before there were, you know, parties like political parties, there were parties like fun time parties and pass the parcel and stuff like that. And so that's where that came from.
That is not true.
What do you mean that's not true?
You don't have fun things at Brexit. Because
some people like Brexit, don't they? So to them, it's one big happy party. How stupid do you think Brexit is?
Very stupid.
Yeah, why is that?
101% stupid.
I agree.
1,000,000,000%
So quite stupid. But what is wrong with Brexit, Michael? Tell the nation.
Theresa May is boring.
Look, what would you say to Theresa May if she was standing in the room right now?
I would say, get out of here, man.
Yeah, get out of
get
here.
Get out of here, man.
And then what would you do to her if she refused to go? What would you do?
I would stick my pinky up her nose.
Yeah, right. And what then?
Do you think she'd go, I'm sorry, Michael, we won't do Brexit then. I'm sorry. Is that all she needs, a pinky up the nostril?
Yeah.
Do you think so? Why isn't anyone doing this? Why isn't anyone going to Parliament and sticking their pinky up to Theresa May's little nostril?
Are they scared it might get stuck?
They're scared because the cats might kill her.
They're too busy writing books.
Yeah, okay. Wouldn't worry about the cats.
Yeah.
Okay, what would you do if Theresa May was in the room, Catherine? What would you say to her first?
I'd call her a Dumbo.
Yeah.
Strong words, strong parliamentary words.
Carrie, why don't you be Theresa May?
Okay.
And Catherine, you be Catherine. Can you be? Have you ever been Catherine before?
Yes, I'm Catherine.
Oh, great. So you've had a lot of experience. So, Carrie, have you ever been Theresa May before?
No, but I'll give it a good old go. I'm classically trained.
Brilliant. Let's see the confrontation. Theresa May versus Catherine over the issue of Brexit.
Hiya, love. I'm Theresa May.
Dumbo.
What?
Dumbo.
What?
Dumbo.
Quick, Michael. Pinky up the nostril time.
Mark. You're calling me a Dumbo? Why are you calling me a Dumbo?
So get out of the seat then.
Tell her that we won't stand for Brexit anymore. Tell her, kids.
We won't stand for Brexit.
I could call my best friend Tia to do karate on you if you like.
Yeah!
I don't want to do any karate. Get your pinky out my nose.
Touch your eyeball then.
Oh, my eyeball!
He's got her in the eyeballs, guys.
Oh, I can't see or smell. I'm still doing Brexit though. What else have you got? I'm Theresa May.
Kids, I've just seen in her handbag she's got loads of fish and chips. Go and get it.
Loads of fish and chips.
Not me fish and chips. Not me good British fish and chips.
Yeah, take it from her. She doesn't deserve it. Get her, kids. Get her fish and chips.
No! Not my precious chips.
Stick 1,000 pinkies up her nostrils, kids.
I just want to go home and play football in my house.
Write Dumbo on her hair. All right, don't they? That's it. We've sorted out Brexit.
That's Brexit.
Again.
Question five.
Who was the first person to wear gloves?
Well, back in the old days, back in the period of history that I'm about to reveal in one moment when I've decided what sort of period of history we want to talk about.
Any moment now, we're going to know when it
back
was.
Back in the Great Fire of London. I'll tell you what happened. There was a man. His name was Stan. He was sitting in the middle of a lane. He had a little pain. He looked down at his finger and he thought to himself, I've got a bit of a manky finger, right? What shall I do? I don't really like how it feels. What I need to do is protect it. So he went over to the baker shop and he said, my finger, it's exposed to the elements. It gets hurt if I even wave it in the air. What can you do? Baker says to him, all right, Stan, why don't you just dip your hands into these into this big pile of dough, and then we'll bake your hands in the oven to protect your hands so they won't get hurt.
Yep.
And they were the first gloves. They were made of dough. So Stan puts his hands into the oven, right? And
that's
about...
definitely not true.
You haven't heard the end of it yet.
It is true.
He puts his hands into the oven, and about an hour later, he's got these two massive... massive gloves of bread.
Huge, great, delicious, impractical gloves
big,
he had.
Big cobs, right?
Oh.
And so in actual fact, right, that night he went out and he got into an argument with someone and he started punching them around. So the first gloves were actually boxing gloves made of bread, right?
And then it rained and he had to go and get new ones.
And then also, right, every morning Stan would go down the baker's and get a new pair of loaves of bread baked onto his hands.
That's why they're called gloves, because they're loaves.
Yeah, exactly. They come from the word for loaves. Loaves.
Oh, loaves.
Everyone would say to Stan in, like, 17th century London, Stan, I like your loaves.
Yeah.
Right, and the Americans later copied that accent and used it for their country.
Yeah.
But that's how people in London used to talk. Hey, Stan, how's it hanging, man?
Gee, loaves.
Oh,
my gosh.
What a great idea.
What
an absolutely superb idea.
Oh, I am overwhelmed by the goodness of your idea, Stan.
You know what, Stan? They protect your hands. They taste great.
Oh,
you can punch people in the face with them.
This is awesome. I want to get me a pair of these G-loaves.
G-loaves?
And they took off.
The G must love the bread.
The G loves the bread.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what they used to call Stan, the G-man.
Because G-love loved the gloves.
He goes, I'm the G-man. G-love loved the gloves.
And then, of course, the Great Fire of London happened. Yep. And that's how toast was invented.
Absolutely true. Did you know? Did you suspect? Could you even understand that history could be brought to life so excitingly by those in the know?
Could you have imagined?
Could you?
Saturday lunchtime, you would have learned quite so much.
You can almost smell the loaves of knowledge in the air.
Just smell the toast of information.
Now, do you know what it's like? It is like we have planted dough in your heads.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we talk, it's like an oven that heats up the dough and
I don't feel hot.
No, no, but it's a metaphor. The bread of knowledge rises in your brain. Can you feel it rising in your brain?
No, the bread of knowledge
is staying in my bread forever.
Yes! Then our work here is done.
Well, there we are. The bread of knowledge has been permanently planted in everyone's heads, courtesy of me, Professor Carrie Quinlan, head research scientist in the Laboratory of Life.
And me, laboratory assistant Andy Stanton, basic lickspittle in the Laboratory of Life, and guy who washes out the test tubes and sometimes accidentally blows his own bum off when he gets the chemicals mixed up.
His own bum off. And you've been listening to... Ask the Nincompoops was produced by Sam Day and is a Great Big Owl production.
Ow, my bum!
You idiot!
Bye!
GreatBigOwl.com
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.